Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Friday, July 27th. Let's cock-a-doodle do it. This is Roto Experts in the morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speedy Spitting Statistician, Stable Genius, Vocal Minority, and I'm joined by my friend, good host, and FSWA Hall of Famer, the King, Scott Angle. Scotty, how you doing on a Friday? I saw you just about 7 hours ago.
Recovering from a very fun night, saying goodbye to our friend Mike Florio, and as everybody at the karaoke joint heard last night, make sure you get your exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package and enter the King at checkout for a special discount, as Dane was on the karaoke mic and promoting our site.
Listen, if nothing else, I am a hype man, and if nothing else, I want to make sure people have what they need to win their leagues and win that cash. And when you got a microphone in your hand, sometimes you got to just let people know. Make sure you enter the promo code THE KING at checkout, and make sure you get the Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Package. Listen, you not only will get the ranks of the King Scott Angle, you'll get the ranks of the number one accuracy expert in the game. I'm talking about, you know, Jake Seeley, the all-in kid. You will get, you know, articles from everything from older veterans that you can rely on to auction strategies to target projections to O-line insight. And even today, what we're going to do is we're going to dig into the first round guide of the King, Scott Angle, a little bit as well. But before we get into any of that, I want to let you guys know that there's a lot of ways you could participate in the show. First off, you could always call us at 844-843-6879. Secondly, you could always follow us on Twitter at Spittin' Speeds, at Scotty RotoX, at Roto Experts, if you want to be down with the show as we put the fun in functional sports radio. We're going to put a poll up there for you as well. So there'll be a lot of ways for you to contribute to the show. Let's start right there, Scott. I want to start by building a poll for us, for the listeners, so that they can, you know, really participate in the show. And a lot of times, Scott, we talk about, oh, we don't know what this player is going to do because it's a new head coach. It's a new scheme, right? And we say there's always this adjustment period. I know you've been talking about an adjustment period potentially in San Francisco, even though there's not a new coach there, right? Like, people have to really build that chemistry. And if there's a new scheme that they're fitting into, there is an adjustment period. We talk about people like, you know, the Chicago Bears and how they're going to adjust. We talk about in Tennessee how they're going to adjust, maybe take the training wheels off Marcus Mariota. I guess my question, first in general, and then maybe we'll talk about some specific situations, is like, how long does it take, Scott? How long does it take to adjust to a new scheme? How long does it take to for a new coach to put his stamp maybe on an offense? You know, when we hear there's a new coach or a new scheme, like, what does that mean? How long do you have to take? How long is that adjustment period, Scott?
There is no one specific adjustment period. Yeah, okay, by 2 months, you know, it's gonna happen,
right?
Look, with the Dolphins, what is it? It's a few years later. Ryan Tannehill hasn't fully adjusted, even though he missed 20 games because of injuries. He still hasn't fully adjusted to Adam Gase. Some guys pick it up. Look at Matt Ryan with Kyle Shanahan. It took him an entire season to pick it up. It wasn't until that second season with him that he was able to pick up the offense. You know, and some other guys, they pick it up right away. So That's intangible. There's really no timeline solid that you could put on it or expectation. Some guys get it quick. Some guys maybe takes them a few weeks. Every player and every scheme and every coaching situation is different. You can't have a sweeping amount of time.
All right, fair enough. So let me dig in. If you say every case is different, let's dig into some of these cases, Scott. Let's dig into some of these cases and see which ones you think are the most interesting, have the most potential, and we'll build a poll for the listeners that way. So the first place I want to ask you about, Scott, is Nagy in Chicago. A lot of people think that this is a lot of potential for the Bears. Charles Nagy coming over from Kansas City with the Chiefs, bringing that offense. A lot of people think that means good things for the tight end, Trey Burton. What that means for, they got Trubisky a lot of weapons with AR-15. They get Tyler Gabriel. They draft Anthony Miller. Anthony Miller, there is some buzz about saying that he is performing well, impressing people at camp, may be very dangerous in the slot. What's the expectations? What do you think happens now that Nagy moves over to Chicago?
I think everything is in place for them to succeed, but that's another place where you talk about the adjustment period because of the quarterback. You know, you're talking about a quarterback who has a lot of potential. I like Mr. Trubisky, and I think he's kind of a polarizing fantasy figure, and there's a lot of upside, but, you know, how quickly does he pick everything up? They're going to be using a very unique run-pass option here, but they've put a lot of new pieces together, so I think there's going to be a lot of inconsistency probably throughout the first half of the season, and I don't know, you're going to be able to, like, look for some upside on the Chicago Bears, looking for dependability the first 6 weeks of the season. I think that might be a crapshoot. You know, you might see one big game out of Trubisky, and then, you know, the next week, you don't. Now, look, Trey Burton, Anthony Miller, Tariq Cohen, all those guys are in position to succeed, but it's all about execution. You're talking about a second-year quarterback in a new system who wasn't much of a thrower in his first year. So I think there's definitely going to be an adjustment period. And, you know, Trey Burton, you know, may have a flash a few times, but I wouldn't be surprised if he has, like, two good games and four disappointments out of the 6 weeks.
First. All right. Interesting, and we'll see what happens with AR-15, Allen Robinson as well, who many people believe is a wide receiver too in that offense.
Here's the point. Everything looks on paper. Good looks good on paper.
Yeah.
But the one thing you cannot project is execution. How are these guys going to execute together and get on the same page, you know, when a lot of these guys really haven't played together a lot? All the talent is there, but you can't make the mistake of judging things on paper. You can't predict execution.
Yeah, you got to see if this turns out to be something where they actually are greater than the sum of their parts together, or if it's just some pieces that haven't just meshed, like you said, with the execution, Scott. What about over in Tennessee? In Tennessee, there's a new head coach. It's Mike Vrabel, but I think, interestingly enough, it's the fact that the OC is Matt LaFleur. And yesterday, you know, again, big shout out to our guy Mike Florio, who's setting sail, our BFF. We did a great show to kind of honor him yesterday, and Mike Blewett was also on that show, and he was really high on the Tennessee Titans and the impact that LaFleur may have on that offense, you know, what that could mean for people like Marcus Mariota. What do you think about the new brain trust in Tennessee, and are you excited, Scott, about them moving away from exotic/erotic Smash Mouth?
Mariota's, you know, worked with some of these guys already. You know, he's got Delanie Walker, etc. Corey Davis should take a step forward. We've already seen Derrick Henry can run well between the tackles. So, yeah, I like Tennessee to take a nice step forward. I don't think they're an AFC championship game participant, like some people have said about them over the last 2 years. But I expect this offense to be better. I think more balanced. Mariota is a guy who's going to be a strong fantasy QB2 with some QB1 potential. Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis make viable flexes. I think there's a lot on Corey Davis, though, because if he can't take that step forward, I think it limits how much they can challenge defenses in the passing game.
Yeah, fair enough. And, Scotty, you know, you say that some people really are high on the Tennessee Titans. I want to pin you down a little bit. I go over to mybookie.ag, and Tennessee, their season win total is 8.5. How do you feel about that one, Scotty? Would you take the over on the Titans? You think they're 9-7 or better? Because if you do, you know, you got to think maybe they're in the AFC playoffs, right?
Yeah, I look at them as like a 10, 10-win team.
Really?
I would certainly be picking the over there. You know, okay. I don't know if they're a 12-win AFC championship type of team. And it's very interesting because everybody's talking up the Chargers. You know, we heard it last night. It's, you know, Philip Rivers, you can't put everything in the Super Bowl based on, you know, what you see on paper. You know, people looking at the Chargers on paper. Philip Rivers has never gone that deep into the playoffs. And, you know, until you got to beat the champ to be the champ. And Tom Brady and Bill Belichick get it done every year.
Yeah, that's true. You know, you're looking for people who may be able to kind of punch those guys in the face. And, you know, Philip Rivers, I believe, got to an AFC championship game once, but he did so, like, on a torn ACL, right? that one year, I believe.
I admire Philip Rivers, and he's a very underrated fantasy quarterback.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not convinced that that team can beat New England when it counts.
Fair enough. Let's go back to the Titans real quick, Scotty. You said you like the over on Tennessee at 8.5. You said you think they could be a 10-win team. Are the Tennessee Titans your AFC South champion? Are they your division winner in that division? If you think they're going 10-6?
I think they'll probably, like, host a wild card game.
Oh, okay. So to host a wild card game, you got to win the division, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. I would love, you know, a little bit later on, Scott, maybe we look at these divisions, you know, over on mybookie.ag. There are prices for each division. I think today would be a good day because, you know, the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, is not joining the festivities today. He'll be back on Monday. We wish him a great happy weekend. But maybe what we should do is we could go on in to all the divisions and look at how we handicap those and maybe pick some winners. How do you feel about that, Scotty, a little bit later on?
Good with me.
Cool. Sounds good. Another new head coach that I think I want to ask you about the implications, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday on our Power Hour for Florio as well, is, listen, John Gruden is back in the NFL in Oakland. Now, I know the narrative around him, Scott, has been like maybe the game has passed him by. He's still trying to do things like it was 2007. He thinks Doug Martin, you know, is going to return to form. What does the Gruden offense coming to Oakland mean for some of these skill players, Scott?
It means they still have to, whatever offense they're playing in, they have to live up to expectations. Derek Carr has not consistently lived up to expectations. Amari Cooper has not lived up to expectations. And then the rest of the offense is aging guys like Jordan Nelson, who's trying to rebound. And, you know, Nelson has some rebound potential. Then you have one older guy in the backfield, Marshawn Lynch, and one guy who's, you know, about to hit age 30, and it's been very disappointing up and down. So I think there's a lot of hype surrounding the Raiders, but I think when certain franchises get hyped, it's because, you know, they have such a large fan base and a large following, like the Raiders, the Cowboys, and you know,
Steelers.
They're not really but the Steelers, like, usually go deep into the playoffs. To me, the Steelers are the model organization in all of professional sports. Like,
in all of professional sports.
Every decade, that team has been in contention since the 1970s. Every decade, you know, that team has gone deep into the playoffs, etc. And I just, for ownership on down, the Steelers, I think, are the model organization in all of sports.
Okay, fair enough. So, but what do you think? But what do you think? No, it's all good, Scotty. But what do you think? Do you think this Gruden offense, this Gruden impact in Oakland? I hear you, the idea that the Raiders are kind of a public team. They're only going to be even more public team after their move to Vegas. But do you think that there's a good impact, like, for guys like, say, Amari Cooper? I know that Mike Florio yesterday was saying that, listen, in the Gruden offense, the wide receiver one has always been over 1,000 yards. Now, that would be Amari Cooper in this outfit, because it's not Jordy Nelson. It's not Martavis Bryant. So, like, who stands to benefit from Gruden coming to Oakland? Is it Amari Cooper? Is it Derek Carr?
To me, it's more of, you know, not what the offense is, but I'm not crazy about the mix of players that they have put together. You have guys who really haven't proven themselves enough, and, you know, other guys who are, like, aging, etc. I don't know if it's a good mix. So Amari Cooper has already had 2 1,000-yard seasons, and he's considered a disappointment. So to throw out a stat, you know, that a guy's going to be a number one receiver, what big deal? You know, what we've seen from Amari Cooper, you know, a lot of promise in 2016. 83 catches, 1,153 yards, but he doesn't score enough. There's still a lot of inconsistency there. But look, with Amari Cooper, he's very young too. You know, that's the thing as well. So to me, Amari Cooper's on the hot seat, and it's with Derek Carr, he's on the hot seat as well. And it really depends on how these guys respond. And I don't think that's too predictable. I don't think either one of them are very dependable. And I don't think bringing in John Gruden is going to fix anything necessarily.
Okay, what about some of these, you know, there's some other new coaches, you know, in different places. I think about Wilkes in Arizona, even though he's more of a defensive mind. Patricia in Detroit, also more of a defensive mind. And then in Indianapolis, they got a new head coach also. They wanted Josh McDaniels. It didn't happen. And then they settled on Frank Reich in Indianapolis, correct, Scott? Are any of these guys, you know, intriguing to you?
Like you said, Wilkes is more of a defensive guy. Who else did you say before?
Frank Reich? Patricia and Reich?
Yeah, Patricia, I think, is a culture change there. Hmm. And, you know, GM Bob Quinn talking about wanting to be more physical, et cetera. So I think the Lions are very interesting because I think there's going to be a culture change and more offensive balance around there. You know, with Frank Reich, look, it's not about the coaching to me. It's all about how healthy Andrew Luck is. It's obvious. You don't need to be an expert to break that down.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Andrew Luck is such a linchpin. Remember, Scotty, we had a poll yesterday where we asked what, you know, quarterback returning from injury were you most excited to see? Andrew Luck was an option there. Today, here's the poll I want to make. And JP down there, the night owl in the fantasy pit of misery, dilly dilly to him, making us sound good. He'll be taking good care of you if you dial the number at 844-843-6879. I think here's how I want to do it, Scott. Let me see how you feel. Because, you know, in a Twitter poll, we only got four options, right? So I want to ask the audience out there, which new head coach are you most interested in seeing, you know, this year, how their team plays out? How do you feel about this, Scott? I think three options should be Nagy in Chicago, Gruden in Oakland, Vrabel in Tennessee, and then the fourth option could be other, and we'll see if people like, you know, the Wilkes and Patricias and Reichs and others of the world. How do you feel about that, Scotty, as we build the poll here on Roto Experts in the Morning?
I personally don't like an other. I think it's too generic. I think we should slap Patricia in there. I think he's very interesting.
Okay, we put Patricia in there, but then people won't get the chance to vote for Wilkes or Reich or anybody else. You think that's okay?
Well, our poll is out of these four head coaches.
Fair enough.
Which one are you most interested in?
All right, so JP down there in the fantasy pit of misery, dilly dilly to you, my friend. Let's put up a poll from Roto Experts in the Morning. The question is, which new hashtag NFL coach are you most interested in seeing and potentially their impact on hashtag fantasy football? The options are Vrabel for the Tennessee Titans, Nagy for the Chicago Bears, Gruden for the Oakland Raiders, and Matt Patricia for the Detroit Tigers. Remember, in Detroit, they maintain their offense. Offensive coordinator, all this does is give me an opportunity to say my guy Jim Bob Cooter, he's gonna cooter all over the place in the NFC North. So let us know what you think. Which new head coach are you most excited to see? We'll check in on that poll a little bit later on in the show, but that's the thing, so many ways for you to join the fun on Roto Experts in the Morning. Hey Scott, there's a couple of news and notes that I want to bounce off you and see, you know, what kind of impact you think it has. I was very intrigued. You know, camps are opening all across this fair land of ours, right? And here's the thing. You see, like, who's on the PUP list, who's not. And I thought it was interesting that in Philadelphia, Carson Wentz is not on the PUP list, but his number one wide receiver, Alshon Jeffrey, is. Now, Alshon Jeffrey was kind of an injury risk for a lot of seasons. You know, when he was in Chicago, he was always injured, had a healthy year for the most part last year, and you see the impact he had. Are you concerned at all about Alshon? Are you concerned about Alshon as an injury history? You think he'll be there? Do you think he maintains his value as the clear number one target for the Philadelphia Eagles?
I don't think there's any indication yet that this injury is of major significance, according to published reports. But, okay. You know, Alshon does tend to get banged up. And, you know, that I do take that into account when doing my rankings on rotoexperts.com.
All right. Fair enough. We'll look at Scotty's rankings on RotoExpert.com in the Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Football package a little bit later on in the show. Hey, Scotty, as you know, I am a Jets fan, same as Frank the Tank over there, who we were chilling with on BFFs a little bit last night. Beat writers are saying, Scott, that this is going to be, even despite the fact that he has yet to sign his rookie contract and report to camp, beat writers are saying that this is Sam Darnold's job to lose, and that by then association, they may be looking to shop Teddy Bridgewater, right? So I guess my question for you is, do you expect Sam Darnold under center for the Jets in week one? And then we could broaden it out to some of these other rookie quarterbacks as well. Like, which ones, you know, There's Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen. How many of these guys do you expect, you know, opening weekend to be under center for their teams? Let's start with Sam Darnold. Do you think he's the Jets starting quarterback in week one?
Yeah, I do, because, you know, Josh McCown is a bridge quarterback. He's good enough to lose with for the Jets. Kind of a veteran bridge that you want to have there. And it just depends on how much Darnold is ready. And, you know, for everything that we've been hearing, et cetera, that, you know, he comes out of college pretty polished. And I think the Jets have to look towards the future now. I think it's an old adage from many years ago, like 15, 20 years ago, that ideally you let a rookie quarterback sit and learn behind the veteran. If the rookie's ready, he's the future. And that's it. You know, we started seeing it with guys like Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, et cetera. If the guy is ready to play right away and he has the talent, unless he isn't grasping the nuances of the offense, these very talented rookies are going to get to play at some point, I think.
Is that a Scotty, you know, because I agree with you. You know, years ago, the quarterback, even high draft picks, would sit and learn, you know, and have that kind of red shirt year almost, right? Is that a finance? Do you think by any stretch that's a financially motivated thing at all? Like, teams want to, you know, kind of get a read on what they have before they have to worry about, like, extending him or the fifth year option, stuff like that. Sometimes the finances make teams make decisions. Could this be, like, why is that? Why do you think it's happened that way that, you know, rookie quarterbacks get thrown to the wolves a little bit quicker these days than, let's say, they did 20 years ago? Could it be financially?
I think it's more the fact that you look at the state of quarterback in the NFL. Now, we look at it in fantasy terms differently than we do in the NFL terms. In fantasy terms, you say quarterback is deep because we're only playing in a 12-team league when we talk about that. When you talk about spreading quarterbacks among the 32 franchises, if we did that in fantasy, boy, we'd really be scrambling for quarterbacks. You know, I think there's about you know, 15 to 16 starters in the league that teams can be really comfortable with. And when these rookies come in, they get drafted high, and the veterans ahead of them are like Josh McCown types. You don't watch Josh McCown ideally starting for your franchise. You draft these guys because they can be difference makers on your franchise, and that's why you get them in there right away.
All right, fair enough. So you think Sam Darnold gets in there right away early in the season. What about Josh Allen? Is he under center for Buffalo right away?
Josh Allen, you got to take every situation uniquely.
Okay.
You know, at the same time. With, you know, A.J. McCarron is really unproven too, and has always wanted his opportunity to start as well. With Josh McCarron, it does make more sense to sit him because I don't think there's a lot that he can accomplish with this team. But he's got to beat out McCarron first. You know, there might be a sense there that whoever plays better is going to earn the job there. And both of those guys, look, McCarron's not a rookie, but he's not as unproven as Allen.
Yeah, so that'll be an interesting one to watch. Like you said, you know, they got to actually earn it first. You know, you say everything is earned. They actually have to earn it. We think Sam Darnold will with Josh Allen. He's fighting against another guy who's looking for his chance in A.J. McCarron. Hey, Scotty, what about over in Arizona? You got Josh Rosen. Do you think he's going to be under center early, or do you think the way they approach it with the Cardinals is they'll just wait for the inevitable Sam Bradford injury to give Rosen his shot?
Yeah, it's with Bradford, he's another one of those bridge veterans. And I know he's a former number one pick, but Rosen might be the most pro-ready of all the young quarterbacks. I think it's just a real matter of time. Even if Bradford doesn't get hurt, I think Rosen's going to get in there pretty quickly.
Okay, and then let's talk about the number one overall pick down in Cleveland, or up in Cleveland, wherever you based are. So it could be up, it could be down. I'm talking about Baker Mayfield. Now, Scotty, you've heard me before. I believe in Tyrod Taylor. I think Tyrod Taylor in Baltimore and Buffalo has always gotten an unfair chance. I mean, the Buffalo Bills were trying to sit him when he was leading this team to a playoff berth for the first time in the last couple of decades for that franchise. And I now think that he could be equipped to do well with Cleveland. But the number one pick, you know the fans, you know the organization is going to want to put him in. When does Baker get under center? Can Tyrod Taylor hold him off?
You know, according to the team brass, it's Tyrod and, you know, the head coach, it's Tyrod Taylor, you know, right, as the starter. But again, he's a bridge veteran, and if that team doesn't start off well, you'll see Mayfield.
Yeah, but here's my question, though. Isn't he a better bridge veteran than, say, McCown or even Bradford?
Yes.
Like, Tyrod, he's a better quarterback than those guys. He still is. You know, he has some juice left in the tank, Tyrod Taylor. This is a guy who's decent, right?
Yep. Yeah, I think he's probably the best of those bridge quarterbacks, but
yeah,
he'll be threatened too.
Absolutely. We will break down what I think is the most interesting case of a rookie quarterback, and that's the one over there in Baltimore. We're off and running. The King and the Spitting Statistician. Come on back and join the fun. It's Roto Experts in the Morning on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Hey, welcome back. It's Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and El Rey de Fantasia, the King, Scott Angle. Don't forget, enter the promo code The King at checkout when you go and get that Roto Experts exclusive edge fantasy football package. It's going to give you everything you need to win your leagues and win that cash. A little bit later on in the show, me and Scott are going to dive into his first round guide. We'll tell you about every spot in a draft and what you could be targeting, who the ideal player is. But we were talking about these rookie quarterbacks, Scott. You know, you mentioned that you think Darnold is a little bit polished. You think that Rosen is pro-ready. Those guys will be under center. Josh Allen, it sounds like we have a little bit less faith in him. Because, listen, A.J. McCarron is also, like, this is his shot as well. And then we talk about Baker Mayfield, how, listen, he's the number one overall pick. PFF had graded him, like, breaking records in college in Oklahoma. But at the same time, Tyrod Taylor is a legitimate NFL quarterback who took a team to the NFL playoffs last year. Tyrod Taylor also, Scott, in NFL history has the lowest interception percentage of all time. Okay, so I really believe, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. Don't get me wrong. I like Baker Mayfield, okay, and I think he has an NFL future. But Tyrod, I think, is a legitimate quarterback who has been kind of undervalued for a long time. And Scott, Tyrod Taylor has the lowest interception percentage all time in the NFL. The Browns last year under DeShone Kizer, you know, he was literally chucking it up and turning the ball over. I think, you know, maybe not to the same extent, but Scott, similar to how, like, kind of the Detroit Lions had a very specific need for a kind of thumper back and they go get LeGarrette Blount, I think the Browns had a very specific need for a safe quarterback who would not turn the ball over. They got Tyrod Taylor. There's some buzz around them. I know it could be bad, like they went one win in their last 2 years. But Scott, let's say the Browns are like 4-4. Can you really make the switch to Baker Mayfield if they're like hovering around 500 in the AFC North?
No, because, you know, like a good three-game win streak could put you right in playoff contention. You're 4-4. Tyrod Taylor has better weaponry around him than he ever had
sure
in Buffalo.
Does.
Decision-making was an issue because, you know, for a lot of his tenure there, he would go through his progressions and not make crisp decisions, but, you know, maybe that's because very often nobody was open as well. but I think Tyrod Taylor, you know, at times we've seen him as a very viable fantasy quarterback, and this is the best situation I think he's been in his career. So, no, I would not be surprised to see him hold the job.
All right, fair enough. And as you mentioned, he's got, like, it's funny to say, but he's got more weapons now than he ever had in Buffalo between if Josh Gordon is on the field, Jarvis Landry might become his new best friend. He's got three legitimate running backs, a top 10 offensive line. It could be very, very interesting. But then we go to Baltimore, Scotty, and I got to tell you something. This is the most interesting case to me. You know our guy Emery Hunt for years has been on Lamar Jackson. There's a lot of buzz around Lamar Jackson in training camp. They're saying, like, you know, how dynamic he is. We've heard that there's been plays with him and Joe Flacco on the field at the same time. We've heard that there's been plays with him and RG3 on the field in the same time, which I don't know how we feel about that per se. But, Scotty, for me, I don't know what we're going to see out of Lamar this year. I don't know how much he's under center as their quarterback, but you know I believe it could unravel for the Ravens, and if it does, they might as well throw him out there to take his lumps. But here's what I'll say, Scott, and I want to hear if you agree. In, like, dynasty leagues, in keeper leagues, where I can, like, kind of nurture him as a project, I'm taking Lamar Jackson maybe ahead of all the other rookie quarterbacks because his ceiling to me is the highest of all of them. His ceiling is Michael Vick plus, in my opinion. I think his ceiling is Michael Vick, but Michael Vick was 10 years ago. The NFL has evolved now to, like, more spacing, more spread kind of stuff, which actually gives Lamar Jackson maybe more space to operate as a runner. I think he could be even more dangerous than Michael Vick. And for that reason, if he realizes his potential, that's the reason I'm having him as the top quarterback in, like, dynasty settings, even though he may not get under center because Joe Flacco is there now. What do you see? How do you see is the career arc of Lamar Jackson? And do you think he has that kind of top-end potential that I'm mentioning?
In my dynasty rookie draft, he was the first quarterback off the board. So, you're not saying anything outlandish there, Dane. His ceiling is better than Michael Vick, like you indicated. Because, again, Michael Vick, very good fantasy quarterback, but never a consistent passer. And if Lamar Jackson can turn out to be a better and more consistent passer, he's going to surpass Michael Vick. So you really don't know what his ceiling is. It's tremendous. But, you know, coming into the league, though, there are questions about his accuracy, et cetera. So I don't know if in the first year that coming out of the gate after the first four or five games, it really depends on what Baltimore's record is. Joe Flacco is going to have to win ball games. If they're 3-2, I don't think you're going to see Lamar Jackson. But, you know, if they're 1-4, you know, you might. So it's really hard to read how much he's going to be on the field enough to make a fantasy contribution in his rookie year. But, you know, take him with that final round pick because a lot of times you'll go without drafting a quarterback, but why not take a quarterback in the 15th round who actually has the skill set and the potential to be a dual threat fantasy starter?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's going to give you that rushing value. And like you said, Scotty, at the back end of your drafts, if you're going to take flyers on some people, might as well have it be someone with a tremendous upside like we see out of Lamar Jackson. It's going to be very interesting what happens with him and the Baltimore Ravens. I personally am not high on them, but we'll get into Scott's thoughts on that team and that division with multiple rookie quarterbacks, potentially the AFC North, as we go look at mybookie.ag in the second hour here on Roto Experts in the Morning. And what we do is, you know, we pick our division winners. Maybe we'll go through the whole thing, Scotty. We'll pick our division winners and, you know, we'll see how far in the playoffs we go. The next piece of news, though, Scotty, that I want to mention, You know, it's funny. I look for like all the updates, and I saw updates on two tight ends that I want to talk to you about because I kind of put them in the same boat. And it's in Washington, Jordan Reed, and in Cincinnati, Tyler Eifert. Okay. I'm hearing, you know, there was a report yesterday that Jordan Reed feels, quote unquote, 100 times better than last year. Well, that's nice, but I don't know if I could trust him far enough that I could throw him, right? And then in Cincinnati, even though he's probably on the pup list right now, Tyler Eifert says that he is 100% going to be ready for week one. Both of these guys kind of have the injury-prone tag. Talk to me, Scott, about the risk of both of these guys and, quite frankly, the ceiling of both of these guys. Because if you tell me right now that both of them play 16 games, I'll show you two more guys that are in that tier along with Walker and Ingram and Olsen and Graham and Rudolph and those kind of guys, in my opinion, but you just can't trust them. Scott, which one of these guys do you trust more? And then what's kind of the ceiling for both of these tight ends, Reed and Eifert?
Yeah, the fact that, you know, they both feel 100% doesn't make me or any other fantasy player feel near 100% with them. You know, with Jordan Reed, we're always talking about what ifs, you know, and it was very funny. I had a fun conversation, you know, last night with one of our staffers about just what ifs. You know, Jordan Reed is a guy that's really only done it for one season in 2015. Yeah. 87 catches, 952 yards, 11 touchdowns. We've been hoping to chase that for the last 2 years. And the 2 years prior to that, he really wasn't anything of a factor. So we're talking about a one-season guy. So even if I knew he was healthy, I can't bump him up into top territory.
Yeah, fair enough. I hear you. And, you know, you talk about the risk, right? And so when you have to compare him up against a, I don't know, let's just say like a Delaney Walker, you know, or a Jimmy Graham or a Kyle Rudolph, you know, you got to think about some of the stability there versus even the potential upside of someone like these guys, like Reed or like Eifert. Hey, Scotty, I tell you that the number to call here is 844-843-6879. We have a friend of the show. Kenny in Philly is on the line. Hey, Kenny, it's a summer Friday. How you feeling, brother, man? Bright and early here on Roto Experts in the morning.
Happy Friday, fellas. How you guys doing, man?
What's up, Kenny? How you doing, cowboy?
Hey, man. Hey, Scotty, that was an absolute boring race that last weekend, I have to say, at Loudon there. But Pocono's definitely going to be more exciting this weekend, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, and I got a treat for you. Returning tomorrow morning, the father and son fantasy NASCAR.
Really?
Oh, man.
We'll be on. Crown Prince!
Yes,
y'all
we'll be
on live?
Demand starting tomorrow on the FNTSY Sports Radio Network. Sean Engel and myself will preview Pocono.
Great. I missed you guys. Actually, tomorrow, I'll of course be listening, whatever. I'll listen to the on demand. But tomorrow I'm actually going to AC to go check out the new Hard Rock and Ocean Resort Casino and go put a couple shekels down on the NFL season. Speeds, I definitely am taking you your Oakland and your Tampa Bay unders. I'm definitely taking those two, and I'm gonna put a couple other bets down as well. So,
yeah, I like that, Kenny.
You gotta put New Orleans and the Jets in the overs.
Of course I am. You know I am. You know I'm an avid Saints fan, and that's part of the reason why I call. You guys were talking about the Saints. I was mad. I couldn't find time during work to actually call in, but. Scotty, there might be some truth to what you were saying. I actually like Brandon Coleman, but he might be the odd man out. He's on the pup list now, and like I said, Tre'Quan Smith is looking pretty good, and Cameron Meredith, and we still got Tommy Lee Lewis, who the Saints actually like or whatever, and he'll be like the fifth man or whatever. And he's
Tommy
on
Lee Lewis is like 4'8". So
yeah,
that's
I know.
Not going to be a
These
fantasy
guys.
Consideration. Yeah.
Oh, no, no. Not for fantasy. I was talking about actual NFL, but yeah, I'm liking the way our team is. I'm just coming around. We got Cam Meredith and Tre'Quan Smith. They're all over 6 feet, and of course Michael Thomas is, and you know Teddy King. He's 6 feet under. But I'm actually liking the way the team is coming out. It's going to be interesting with the end of the draft and taking flyers on these rookies and stuff. Also, one more thing: as a commissioner of a league, it is difficult. Please give your commissioner some credit, man, because planning these drafts, I'm commissioner of one league. We have a live draft. I have to plan around everybody's schedule and people being difficult. And, you know, you got to give your commissioner some love here, man. That's all.
Look, hey, what you have to do as a commissioner is you got to lay down the law sometimes. You can't all 12 people in the league, all right? And this is a date. If you can't make it, we're doing it online. Pre-rank your players. That's it. Or send a proxy. That said, there are certain people in the league, if your league rotates members year to year, if you have guys that are like the most important core, maybe you make a little bit of an allowance for them. Cater to them, you know, rather than like newbies or rotating guys. But at the end of the day, it's all about you can't please everybody. In the league that I run, it's rare that the full 12 owners are there for draft day. There's always one guy on auto pick.
Yeah.
But he always pre-ranks his guys.
You're absolutely right, man. Hey, man, y'all have a great weekend. I'll be talking to y'all in a couple of days or whatever.
All right, sounds good there, Kenny. Thanks for always joining the show and helping us put the fun in functional sports radio here on Roto Experts in the morning. Do me a favor, stand up and get crunk in that dome with the Saints. We will find out later in the show who Scott would pick for all 8 divisions, okay? We're going to do that in the second hour. And, hey, Kenny, meet me at the ticket window because we're going to be cashing on that Raiders under and that Tampa Bay under 100%. Hey, Scotty, we were talking about that auction, right, for the Frenzy a little while ago, yesterday. We were talking about auction strategies in general by Dom Santorino. We got into that a little bit. I want to ask you about how you feel about some of the prices you paid in this Frenzy auction. Listen, I know the guys, the fantasy executive and whatnot, were giving you grief for Ricky Seals-Jones. We don't need to get into that. We're going to find out what happens with that incident at the W Hotel, and we'll see what kind of value that is. I am intrigued, though, Scotty. I mean, you spend $56 for Saquon Barkley, $51 for Julio Jones as your wide receiver one. But then look, I mean, look at the difference in your quarterbacks, though, right? Like, how much cheaper quarterbacks go. And it's the same thing about, like, kind of waiting for quarterbacks in drafts and stuff. You got Cam Newton for $10 and Kirk Cousins.
I bid to 10 on Cam Newton. I ended up with Cousins.
Oh, it says here, 1, Cam Newton for $10. Okay, fine. But Kirk Cousins for 8. Is that correct?
I got Kirk Cousins at $8, yes.
Okay.
Cam Newton, I threw him out at 10 and I got outbid because, like I told you yesterday, I didn't want Cam Newton.
Okay, fair enough. So talk to me, like, are you happy with that? Kirk Cousins at $8, the value there?
Yeah. It's, you know, to me, he's a top 10 quarterback in a really good situation. He's a guy who likes to throw downfield and he's got 2 terrific targets to do it with and, you know, maybe some some underrated secondary targets as well. So you got to also get Dalvin Cook out of the backfield. He said he loves throwing to Kyle Rudolph. I loved his quote. He said it's like throwing into a big mattress. You know, look, Kirk Cousins is not a guy who's going to be top 5, I think, because his team is going to like play with defense and a running game, and he's going to be able to pick his spots. But I think he's certainly going to be adequate enough to give me a fantasy championship.
And that's what it's all about, right? Getting that title, getting that trophy, getting that cash. I want to ask you about your wide receivers a little bit. Listen, you pay for Julio $51, right? And then it looks to me here, Scott, like your wide receiver two is probably Cooper Kupp, all the way down at $9, right? Like, talk to me again about this. Like, when you were sitting there in the auction after you spent $107 for Julio and for Saquon, were you like, I'm gonna be out of it right now until we get down to like the $10 level? Because we always talk about let the draft come to you. How do you let the auction come to you, especially if you pay for some high-end talent and you're sitting there not with as much leverage as some other teams when some of these second- and third-tier players are getting nominated? What does it mean to kind of like let the auction come to you? You wound up with Cooper Kupp as your wide receiver two paying $9.
Yeah, it was at that point where I said, look, I only have a certain amount of a lot. You know, I can't really spend more than $10 or $11 on a wide receiver. To me, Cooper Kupp has the potential to be a number 2 in a PPR. He's more of a wide receiver 3, but at that point, some of the wide receiver 2s that were going off the board, I just didn't have the money for anymore.
Right.
So I said, you know, let me get a guy with a little bit of upside who I think is at least going to be dependable, because Kupp is really, I think, Jared Goff's favorite target, you know, when he's on an important passing down. So for me, I think Kupp's at least going to be adequate. You know, I don't want to be weak at that number two wide receiver spot after I spend all that money, you know, elsewhere.
Yep, fair enough, fair enough. So that's your, wide receiver two. It looks like your running back two, however, is the place where you, you know, outside of Saquon and Julio, was the place that you decided to spend a little bit of extra cash, and you got Ronald Jones, the rookie running back in Tampa Bay, who I believe might, you know, out of all these rookies, lead in rushing. You know, Saquon is obviously a first-round talent. We all love Saquon Barkley. And, you know, we talk about some other guys we like. I think Ronald Jones and, quite frankly, Darius Geis as well, these are the guys who have the clear path to starting in early down work and may, in terms of just rushing yards, really are the ones, in my opinion, who have the best chance to get 1,000 in their rookie year. Talk to me about Ronald Jones as your RB2, because I know then later on in the auction you backed it up and got Peyton Barber as well. Talk to me about Ronald Jones and why you like him, $33.
Yeah, I was at a point where I said, I got to get a solid RB2.
You got to get someone, right?
Got to overspend a little bit. And, you know, Jones is not only a guy who's got great vision and hits the hole hard, but, you know, He may have the best pure speed of any running back coming out of this class, and you're going to see him.
That's not named Saquon Barkley, or including Saquon.
That's not includes. Well, it, maybe it is includes Saquon Barkley. He's not good all around, but just in terms of pure speed for a guy to take off and score from anywhere on the field, Ronald Jones might be the best in this year's rookie class in that sort of that sort of league. Now, for those who don't know what a performance league is where you get extra points for like 40, 50-yard touchdown runs or receptions. Mm. You know, Ronald Jones becomes even more valuable, I think, in that kind of format, because if he gets loose on in the secondary, he's gone.
Okay, so there's
going to be a lot of big plays from Ronald Jones.
So let me ask you this. Let's take Saquon off the table, right? We've talked about a lot of rookie running backs. I believe personally, and it sounds like, you know, based on all our conversations, that tier, you know, includes, say, Jones, Penny, Geis, maybe Freeman, maybe Michelle, maybe Chubb. How do you see these rookie running backs not named Saquon Barkley? Who would you like to have if you had to prioritize some of those guys?
I'd like Ronald Jones first, obviously. And Darius Geis, I think, you know, has a clear path to playing time.
Right.
He's just so violent, though, that I worry about the health.
Okay, what about you got Penny in Seattle?
The thing is the path is not as clear for him as the other
right.
two. And, you know, a month ago when I was saying it, nobody was believing me that, you know, that Chris Carson is not out of the mix in Seattle.
In Seattle.
That could end up being a timeshare.
Okay, right. So, you know, you got to consider, remember, it's not only the skill, it's actually your opportunity. And I agree with you. Jones and Geis probably have the clearest path to early down work. Penny has Carson to worry about. Royce Freeman has Devontae Booker to worry about. Nick Chubb has Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson to worry about. And I know another, you know, Kerryon Johnson has LeGarrette Blount to worry about. Let me ask you, though, Scott, you know, people think the skill may not be there. They're not getting as much conversation or buzz, but you and I have talked about it. I also think a nice value, guys, if you're looking for rookie running backs, there's always one that pops that you didn't consider. For me, Scott, and I know for you as well, you got to look to Indianapolis for some of those options, right? I know, listen, you talk about like the path being blocked for guys maybe like Penny or Freeman. I don't know that I believe that Marlon Mack, you know what I mean, is going to block really the path for Jordan Wilkins or your guy Nyheim Hines. And I think both of those guys could be very interesting rookie running backs who kind of come off the radar a little bit more. What do you think about the rookies in Indianapolis, Scotty?
This could be a pure committee because Marlon Mack is their best outside runner. Potentially, Jordan Wilkins could be their best inside runner. And then you have Nyheim Hines, who's, you know, not ticketed for regular carries because of his frame. He's very small, but, you know, could really be like a Darren Sproles type out of that backfield, especially if Andrew Luck is healthy. And Nyheim Hines has a lot of upside as a Sproles type because we've been talking about you have T.Y. Hilton, but, yeah, who do you really have as that second wide receiver? He could be throwing a Nyheim Hines a lot out of the backfield.
Yeah, I agree. There's a part of me that just feels, though, that their number two wide receiver is going to be Dez Bryant. You know, I've talked about Indianapolis as a potential landing spot for them, and I think it makes sense because he and T.Y. Hilton are different kinds of receivers, and I think that's very important. But you're right. What is it, Chester Rogers right now? You know, do you really – like, as it stands right now, what, it's Jack Doyle as the second target getter? You know, and I have concerns about the two tight end offense. I know you do not believe in Eric Ebron, so you don't really see it as much. But you're right, Scotty. A guy out of the backfield like a Nyheim Hines type, maybe this year's Tariq Cohen or Elijah McGuire, you know, I guess Tariq Cohen, the idea of a rookie who could play that role, right? We believe in Nyheim Hines. Where in drafts or what in auction values, if you really do like the potential of Hines, where are you going to have to go get him?
Well, my dynasty rookie draft, I had to take him at number 9 overall.
Right. But that's just the rookies, right?
But, yeah, that's just the rookies because the first 8 were all running backs, and he was the best one left. You know, that's a guy you're talking double-figure rounds.
Okay.
You know, you're talking maybe round 12, round 13. But I think what a lot of new fantasy football players do or average fantasy football players do is they look at the depth chart and they assume that if Marlon Mack isn't the guy, that Nyheim Hines is the handcuff. He's not. He's not built for regular carries.
No, it's Wilkins.
If Marlon Mack didn't cut it or he went down with a season-ending injury, it'd be a timeshare between Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins. Nyheim Hines is not the next man up just because he's second on the depth chart.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we've said before, you know, it's really about the type of back. You don't just look at the depth chart, and it's kind of like, you know, people have the saying in football, just like next man up, but it's not necessarily. You have to think about the role they play, you know, and is that guy in the back end of the depth chart more of that pass catcher or more of that runner? You know, Scott, your team in Seattle is such a perfect example of this. You talk about Carson and you talk about Penny. They also have, you know, C.J. Procise and J.D. McKissick. Those are the kind of guys that are the pass-catching backs, whereas Carson and Penny profile to be more of the in-between-the-tackles guys, correct?
I think they look at Penny as a potential three-down back. You know, if he can improve his pass protection, you know, they want him on the field for all three downs, just like Marshawn Lynch used to be. Look, C.J. Procise, if he was ever able to stay healthy, you know, he would be very unique and would really cut into those third down reps, but it's not happening. And, you know, J.D. McKissick was a guy who got on the field a lot just because the team was so barren at running back at one point.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the last thing I want to ask you, Scott, about your frenzy auction league. Who do you believe is your wide out 3? We know you have Julio Jones. You have Cooper Kupp there. You also have Marquise Lee and Jordy Nelson. Are you starting Marquise Lee as your third wide receiver?
It's very possible that I'll end up starting both of them because I got to start a flex. But if you're asking me who's my pure wide receiver 3, it's probably going to end up being Marquise Lee, who I think's you know, poised for a career year.
Absolutely. I think Marquise Lee could be intriguing. There are other options in Jacksonville as well. Don't forget Dede Westbrook. And they went out in the offseason and got my man, Yaman Creef. And remember, though, we got a poll question up. We were asking you about the new NFL head coaches who you are most interested to see. There is a lot of buzz about Chicago and the Bears and that Matt Nagy offense, what it means for Mitch Trubisky, what it means for guys like Trey Burton, Tariq Cohen, and, of course, their number one wide receiver, AR-15. 41% of you agree, believe that Nagy in Chicago is the most intriguing coach and to keep an eye on in terms of what the impact is for their team. John Gruden second at 29%, Patricia at 24%, and Vrabel with the Tennessee Titans only 6%. We are off and running, 1 hour in the books, but don't worry about it. I got the King Scott angle for 2 hours today on a Friday. In hour number 2, we're going to look at the division odds at every division in the NFL, and we'll also get Scotty's guide to drafting in the first round. Come on right back. It's Roto Experts in the Morning.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-292-8137 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-292-8137 for your free author submission kit. Again, that's 800-292-8137.
Why pay high rake when you can play daily fantasy baseball and pay half the rake on Fantasy Draft? Featuring half the rake GPP and head-to-head contests, exclusive VIP experiences, and the most flexible lineup structures in the game, Fantasy Draft is the only DFS site that puts players first. They're also the only site to offer 6-of-7 PGA scoring, dropping your lowest golfer score. Register today with the code FNTSY for a free $4 entry into a guaranteed winner contest in the sport of your choice. Fantasy Draft, daily fantasy on a level playing field.
Are you, or someone you love, one of the nearly 1 million Americans living with Parkinson's disease? There is no known cure, but you have the power to help change that by participating in a clinical trial. The Michael J. Fox Foundation will help get you started. Visit michaeljfox.org/participant pack to download the new Parkinson's Trial Participant Pack. It's free and available right now. That's michaeljfox.org/participant pack. Visit today.
You know, as an allergy sufferer, you're wired differently.
I sure feel that way.
That's why there's Nasacort. It's different too. You see, unlike antihistamines, Nasacort targets and inhibits more of the allergic inflammation that causes ear congestion and other nasal allergy symptoms.
My antihistamine doesn't do that?
None of them do.
Oh, that is different.
And it's why Nasacort's more effective at giving you 24-hour relief.
So even if I'm wired differently,
Nasacort stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
Game time decisions.
Yeah, there really should be a promo. You're right. Tune in daily at 4 o'clock to hear the best talk show host in the industry. He has been given zero awards by anybody. That's how good he is.
Negative awards.
He's so good, he doesn't even get invited to the award shows. Believe the term, all you people that give out awards, what's the words I'm looking for? Blow me.
Weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Rodeo
Experts. You think Dez would have any interest in Cleveland? Read the tea leaves. Where could he wind up?
Well, he's going to have to go somewhere, and he doesn't have a lot of options. If Cleveland is one of the ones and nobody else is offering him a contract, I don't care if he wants to go to contender or not. I know he wants to play football in 2018. That's what I do know. So I think it's going to come down to this might be where we see Dez Bryant finally play, because Dez Bryant wants a job.
Weekday, 7 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You got the spitting statistician and the king holding you down as we slide into a summertime weekend. It's a casual Friday here on Roto Experts in the morning. El Rey de Fantasia and the spitting statistician. Of course, remember, you guys need to go to Roto Experts, get the Roto Experts exclusive edge fantasy football package where you have everything you need to win your leagues and win that cash. You got the King Scott Angles ranks, the all-in kid Jake Seeley's ranks, customizable cheat sheet generators, and so much content. You got enough to read on the beach this summer. Hey, Scotty, you know, we're going to get into your first round guide a little bit later on this hour. We're going to look at the mybookie.ag kind of odds for division winners as we kind of think who are the playoff teams in the NFL this year. I got a question on Twitter that I wanted to bounce off you. It's got my guy Jim Martell. You know, he's heard us talking about Ronald Jones and asked me, when is it safe to pull the trigger on Jones? He plays in a standard keeper league, okay? And here's the thing. You know, we talked about Ronald Jones as the auction. You know, you spent around $30 for him. In a regular draft, I want to say I'm cool with Ronald Jones in the fourth round as your RB2. How do you feel about that, Scotty?
Yeah, I would. That's exactly where I would like him.
Okay.
I think the flow of a lot of draft dictates about the fourth round, and there's not really a whole lot I can add to that, unless you know every draft is different. If there's a huge run of running backs like middle of the third round, back of the third round is fine to me too.
Okay, fair enough. But you see him right in that round, right in that area, and as a solid RB2 for your fantasy football team this year. All right, Scotty, here's the thing. We talk about, like, where do you take players, right, and stuff like that. So let's look at your guide to the first round. You know, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about every slot in the first round and kind of when you talk about how it comes to you, we'll talk about what this means. Now, listen, right at the top, Scotty, you know, you got your choices of, say, Gurley or Lev Bell. I'm personally a Lev Bell pick at number one at the very top just because, you know, I think he's done it longer than, say, Gurley, things of that nature. And I just think he is literally the best running back in the NFL. I would take him number one overall. Is he at the top of your board as well?
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell is at the top of my board because, look, any one of these top four running backs, the
right.
big four I call them in this article, in the exclusive edge package, Bell, Gurley, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, you could pick them anywhere in the top four, in any one of them, and you would not be wrong. But at some point, you have to split hairs, especially if you're number one, and say, who do I really want? And out of all of these guys, Le'Veon Bell has the longest track record of all-around excellence than any other guy. Like,
right.
Todd Gurley's done it for 1 year. David Johnson hasn't done it for more than 1 year. And Ezekiel Elliott, as much as there's the potential to catch more passes, he hasn't done it yet. So to me, Le'Veon Bell, also when you mix in the tangibles that he's going to be playing for
contract,
for probably for a lot of money in a contract this year, with like Antonio Brown says, the old cliched chip on his shoulder. I take that into account as well, and he's in arguably the best offense in the NFL.
Yeah, question though for you with that, and I agree with you. I love Lev Bell. I have a lot of shares of Lev Bell in dynasty leagues, and if I am sitting at 1-1, he would be my pick as well. You talk about the impending, you know, kind of contract negotiations and him potentially being on the open market. Same could be said for David Johnson. Scotty, you know, he's going to be a free agent potentially next year as well, so he's looking to, you know, kind of impress the league even more so than he already has. I agree with you on these kind of four picks, right? These are what you say, the big four. We're talking about Bell, Gurley, Zeke, and David Johnson. I think after that, though, Scotty, that's where it gets a little bit interesting, right? Because, you know, then you're talking about, you're comparing positions. You know, you're talking about maybe a guy like Saquon Barkley, maybe a guy like Alvin Kamara or Kareem Hunt. But then you're also talking about that up against the wide receivers of what I would say is Antonio Brown and DeAndre Hopkins, right? So let's talk about, you talked about the big four, you know, as those four picks. I think the next tier is like three running backs and two wide receivers. When you talk about Saquon, maybe Kamara, maybe Hunt, and then these wide receivers, Antonio Brown and DeAndre Hopkins. Talk to me about, if you are in the middle of the first round, how are you playing it?
Well, if I'm at five, you know, there's no way I could pass on Brown. And if you take him in the top four, I can't say I blame you.
Okay.
He's coming off the set, two of the biggest marks in his career in terms of yardage per game and yardage per catch. And again, he's in the best offense in the NFL. Saquon Barkley, he hasn't proven it yet. He has the potential to join the big four and make it a big five of fantasy running backs, but he's got to prove that first. He's got to earn that spot in the top six. I'm not top five. I'm not just giving it to him, but I can't let him slip anywhere below six because, you know, the potential to be, to maybe even, you know, outplay all of those guys.
Right.
It's just, it's the sky is too high. And when you play in a high stakes league like the NFFC or something like that, or the FFPC, there's a high stakes thought process that you have to be more aggressive and maybe take more gambles than the next guy, and that's why I'd okay be taking Saquon Barkley anywhere in the top six in a high stakes league. If you feel that you have to make that gamble to set you apart, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I hear you, Scott. It's like the difference of playing a DFS cash game and a DFS tournament, right? In order to win in something big like that, and so you say like in a high-stakes league, when there's big money on the line, the way you're going to win is by swinging for the fences and connecting. Here's the other analogy I'll make for you, Scott. You know, to win, say, a big office pool of March Madness, you're not going to win the pool just picking the chalk. You have to take some risks. You have to pick a 13 over a 4 somewhere in the bracket. You have to pick a number one seed to go down. If you are going, you have to zig when other people zag a little bit, and you just got to nail it in order to actually win. I think correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, but what you're saying is that Saquon Barkley represents kind of that, because the upside is there. You got to swing and connect on a guy like Saquon Barkley if you actually want to win that cash, similar to say like a big time DFS tournament, right?
Yeah, I'm not willing to take him to top five when I think there are safer picks.
Right.
But again, I'm not vehemently against this. I'm not saying that if you took Saquon Barkley number two, that you're wrong necessarily.
All right, fair enough. Now let's talk about, we outlined some of these guys, the wide receivers in Brown and Hopkins. We talk about Saquon there. That's the middle of the round, right? If your pick's 5, 6, 7, maybe 8. Let's say you're in the back part of the first round. You're staring at guys maybe like Kareem Hunt, Melvin Gordon, or do you want to potentially look at a wide receiver who you have as wide receiver 3? Maybe that's Odell Beckham. Maybe that's Julio Jones. Whoever that is for you, when you're faced with the decision of an impact running back like, say, a Melvin Gordon, or an impact stud wideout like, say, an Odell Beckham, how are you playing that one, Scotty?
I think you still have to go with Odell Beckham, because I think there's a drop-off slightly from him to Julio Jones, because when you look at like the last few seasons of Odell's career when he was healthy, I don't think anybody else has like a 1,250, 10-touchdown floor
right,
like that guy, and that kind of sets him apart.
Okay. So are you looking for that safe floor? Because here's the thing. We talk about swinging for the fences, right?
It's more than a safe floor. It's a very, very high floor that only three wide receivers, I think, going into the draft this year have. It's Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Odell Beckham. After that, I think there's a drop-off to Julio Jones and Michael Thomas, because they don't score as much as those other guys.
What about a guy like Davante Adams, who, I'm not saying he's a first-round pick, but Davante Adams gets touchdowns a lot.
He does, but the yardage numbers are not there. He's nowhere near like a 1,250-yard floor that Odell Beckham is, so we're not even getting into that conversation yet, because I believe it's from Odell Beckham. Yardage-wise, Julio Jones right there are better, but Julio Jones doesn't score enough touchdowns. Davante Adams kind of the flip side of Julio Jones. He scores, but he hasn't got enough yardage yet. I expect it to increase, but I don't think he could be a given for 1,200 yards nearly as much as an Odell Beckham.
Okay, you talk about 1,200 yards kind of as that, threshold. Last year, Scotty, only 6 wide receivers got 1,200 yards. Can we play a little trivia? Scotty,
yeah.
If I say 6 wide receivers got 1,200 yards or more last year, how many in a row do you think you can name before you get one wrong? You think you can tell me all 6?
I'll try. Maybe I
go ahead.
Go about
6 wide receivers. 6 wide
well,
receivers.
Antonio Brown's definitely one of them.
That is one, correct.
Yes. Julio Jones?
Correct. 4 more.
Let's
last
see.
Year.
Last year, DeAndre Hopkins?
Correct. You got 3 more.
Okay, 3 more. Michael Thomas?
Correct. He's the 6th one, 1,245 yards. You're on a hot streak, Scotty. Can you go 6 for 6? There are 2 more left.
Okay, can I go 6 for 6? Let's see. 2 more left.
Yep.
Over 1,200 yards last year.
Correct.
Let me call my mind here and think.
Do you need by calling your mind? You're not
looking
on the internet, right? Okay.
No,
do you
I'm
need a hint, Scott?
I'm just looking. Honestly, I'm just looking at team names.
Okay.
That's all I'm looking at.
Fair
to
enough.
Pick off.
Fair enough.
The number one wide receiver in my head.
Okay.
It's one in Chicago, one in Detroit. No, Green Bay. He was injured. No, I don't think Adam Thielen's on that list. It's a tough one.
There are two names left.
I already said him.
You've said Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, and Michael Thomas.
Larry Fitzgerald, I don't think had the
Larry
yardage.
Fitzgerald was just underneath that. He was eighth in the NFL at 1,156 yards. Seventh was Tyreek Hill at 1,183. Those are the guys who just missed the cut. What if I tell you, Scott?
What about Keenan Allen?
That is correct, my friend. Keenan Allen, third in the NFL, 1,393 yards, 102 catches for his breakout. And, Scotty, I'm going to give you credit, my friend, because the sixth is, in fact, Adam Thielen. I got a feeling. Adam Thielen, 1,276
yards. I got five out of six.
Well, you mentioned it as well, so I wanted to give you credit for that one. Adam Thielen and his breakout, 91 catches, 1,276 yards. I will say this, though, Scotty. Of those, I would say that Adam
Thielen... Pretty fly for a white guy, yeah.
That's true. Adam Thielen, I would say, is the one that I have the least amount of faith to be able to repeat that. I can see, like...
Why?
I can see... Well, because, like... I can see Stephon Diggs doing the same thing. You know what I mean? They have Dalvin Cook back. He has a new quarterback that's throwing to him this year. None of these other guys do, you know? So I think that those factors would be the reasons, if I had to pick one that I trusted the least to repeat it. I think Adam Thielen's going to be fine, but I could see some regression for Adam Thielen.
Now, I don't know. You know, we can see a rise in touchdowns, even if we see a slight regression in yardage. But, you know, to debate your point, he's got a better quarterback than he did last year, a guy who throws deep better, and we know that Stephon Diggs is always an injury risk.
I guess that's true. Stephon Diggs with 849 yards last year. You know, let's say if Diggs is at 850 and Thielen was at 1250, like – what if that just, you know, shifted a little bit? You know what I mean? Like, let's say Diggs
I could see it, but then I could see more touchdowns for Thielen this year. So even if you're getting – it's like I said about Jarvis Landry last year. Even if you're getting the same amount of fantasy point totals, you might just get them through a different flow.
Okay, fair enough. There are different ways that you can get your points, but those are some of the top wide receivers and the ones that did get to that threshold that we're talking about, Scotty, are around 1,200 yards. Do me a favor, guys. If you want more insight from the King, Scott Engel, looking in more detail around the first round picks or all the other great content in the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package, you got to cop it right now, okay? So you have enough time to prepare for your drafts. I think drafts are starting to happen. Enter the promo code THEKING at checkout. You will never anywhere else find this kind of insight. I told you also that we got a poll question up right now. At Roto Experts, at Spittin' Speeds, at Scotty Roto X. We're asking, which NFL head coach are you most interested in seeing in terms of their impact on fantasy football this year? Right now, still holding pat, 45% of you say Matt Nagy. A lot of people are intrigued by that offense, Scotty. Do you think they just pick it up, move it over, and, like, they look like the Kansas City Chiefs this year? Do you think, like, there's just that seamless transition? And what would that mean for Mitch Trubisky, you know, with some RPOs, things of that nature? Like, you think they just pick it up and look like the Chiefs this year? A lot of people are saying that, you know, making the analogy of, oh, Trey Burton just plays the Travis Kelce role, what Tyreek Cohen can be vis-a-vis Tyreek Hill, you know, kind of other things like Kareem Hunt is like the Jordan Howard. Do you think there are these analogies to what we've seen in Kansas City in the last couple of years and what we expect out of Chicago this year?
It's a little bit of a different animal for me. Okay. Because I think Trubisky has more upside than Alex Smith ever did. Also, Tariq Cohen is not Tyreek Hill. You know, he's not the same player. It's going to be a run-pass option. I think Tariq Cohen has huge upside. But, you know, you're talking about a two-back set as compared to just pretty much Kareem Hunt there. And to be Travis Kelce for Trey Burton, well, that's not going to quite happen in the first year. And you hope the wide receiver play is more consistent, and it is better than in Kansas City, because outside of Tyreek Hill, what have we really seen over the last few years wide receiver wise in Kansas City? So I think there's more upside for that offense than there was in Kansas City, because Kansas City is a team, especially when they got to the playoffs, you know, they would flame out. You know, this team has more talent, I think, on paper, but, you know, there's also going to be a learning curve there.
All right, fair enough. So, listen, we could be excited, but it just may take a little bit of time, maybe time you don't have as a fantasy football owner if you need to, you know, trying to win that cash. Scotty, as we move on here, here's what I want to do. You know, we've been talking about over at mybookie.ag. A lot of times when we talk about different teams, we talk about their season win totals. There's other ways to attack it. There's other ways to win a little bit of extra cash. So I want to look at the odds to win the divisions and get your insight on where you think the best value could be. We start in the AFC. And Scotty, to be quite honest, like in the AFC East, we already know, right? The New England Patriots are at minus 850. You're not going to win any money on that one. They got the Dolphins plus 850, then the Bills and the Jets at plus 1,000. Interesting, Scott. You and I both think that the Jets could be in second place in that division. Vegas, it looks like from these numbers, Vegas thinks that the Miami Dolphins are the team best positioned to finish in second place. This is a clear New England Patriots bet, right?
Yeah, what is the over on the Dolphins win total?
It's 7. I told you that's the one I like as an under as well.
Under,
I gave out
baby.
My lock threes. Yeah, my three locks. We talked about it with Kenny in Philly. He agrees with me on Tampa. He agrees with me on Oakland. The third one for me in that is the Miami Dolphins. They're at 7. I don't think, you know, you only lose that bet if they go 500. I don't think that's the case. The New England Patriots are a great bet, obviously, but you're not going to win any money on it. So because of that, Scott, here's what
Before we go on, though.
Oh, go ahead.
Before we go on, I'm sorry. Just to move forward. To me, the Dolphins could bring up the basement easily. You know who the Dolphins have turned into? They've turned into the Marlins. They lost so many of their best players. They lost Pouncey. You know, they lost Landry. They lost Sue. And they didn't replace them. Look at that receiving crew. That's right. Like a Miami Marlins outfield. That is like probably the second worst receiving crew in the AFC, probably behind Buffalo.
Yeah, I agree.
They have Kenyon Drake, but Tannehill's missed 20 games. He hasn't picked up the offense. There's holes on the defensive line now, especially defensive tackle. They're not good at linebacker. Buffalo has a better defense. I would not be surprised if the Miami Dolphins are the worst team in the NFL this year.
In the entire NFL. Listen, yeah. I agree with you, but I'm just not going to go that far. I will go so far as to say, check this out. Jake Seeley went a little bit further on that in this show. He thinks that out of the top 6 picks in next year's NFL draft, he thinks 3 of those picks will be teams from the AFC East. I think 2 of them will, and I think it's Buffalo and Miami. I think Buffalo and Miami could both be picking inside the top 5 of next year's NFL draft. The one actual question I want to ask you, though, about Miami.
Well, of course you think that because you're a Jet fan.
Yeah, I'm going to leave out the Jets,
but I told you. You wouldn't want to predict that they finish that low. I don't think they will.
Right.
I think they go
6-10,
people.
Scott.
I think they go 8-8. I think they're actually going to be better than people think.
But there you go.
Look, you know, there are a lot of people who are ticketing the Jets for another 4 or 5 win season. I think they have more talent than that.
Cool. Let me ask you one more thing, though, about these Dolphins, Scotty, because you brought it up, how there's like a dearth of options there, right? They lost Jarvis Landry. They don't really excite you or move the needle. I've said many, many times, Scott, that I don't trust rookie tight ends. I think tight end is the hardest position to excel at in year one because, you know, you got to learn the blocking schemes. It's very different than college, all that stuff. And last year, the rookie tight end who did well was Evan Ingram from New York, right? But here's the thing. There was no Odell Beckham. There was no Sterling Shepard for most of the season. Brandon Marshall got hurt. You know, it was him and Roger Lewis as options. And because of the dearth of other options, Evan Ingram had a chance to excel in his rookie year. You just talk about the dearth of other playmaking options in Miami. What does that mean for the rookie tight end out of Penn State, Mike Gesicki? Are the conditions in place for him to actually maybe be viable as a rookie?
The conditions are into place, but, you know, there are reports of a bumpy minicamp.
Right.
You know, he could be an instant red zone threat, but I don't know how much I'm looking for in yardage. I think in spurts, he might perform well and be a good DFS play, but, you know, you make a lot of good points about tight ends. So, I don't know. The first year, I think, is going to be tough. They drafted him, and they drafted another tight end to be a blocker in the fourth round. You know, soft hands, you know, good leaping ability, everything you want to see in a pass catcher. But it's very hard to, The situation is good, though, because they don't have a lot of wide receiver, but it might be asking a lot of a rookie tight end.
All right, fair enough. He might be a guy, though, that you keep an eye on, and maybe in dynasty leagues, make sure he's on your roster going into his second year, because maybe Miami still won't have options, and he can make that second-year jump. But you're right, Scotty. It is very tough for a rookie tight end. Let's go back to these divisions. We all agree on the Patriots. I think it's almost similar, maybe not to the same extent. I think the AFC North is similar. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a huge favorite. Scotty, would you maybe have a little bit of a parlay and, you know, double down to try and make money on it? Because you're not going to make money on the Patriots winning the AFC East. You're not going to make money on the Steelers winning the AFC South. They right now are at minus 375, followed by the Ravens as the second choice, plus 375, the Bengals at plus 750, and the Browns at plus 900. How about a two-team parlay, Scotty, betting the Pats to win the AFC East and the Steelers to win the AFC North? You buy that?
Definitely, but well, you know, what's your upside on that? You know,
it's a little bit better than betting one of them. You know, the parlay.
I'd rather do it. I think you'd be very confident in that.
All right, I'll tell you right now.
I can't see Cleveland winning that division, Cincinnati or Baltimore. It's just
that's what I'm
saying. The AFC East might be the worst division in all of football, and the AFC North isn't too far behind.
Exactly. So now that we got through those real quick, now in the other divisions, I think it is a little bit more interesting. So let's look at that. Let's look at the AFC South. Okay, Scott, I think this is an interesting one. There is no, minus money on any of these teams, okay? So the Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars are co-favorites right now to win the AFC South over on mybookie.ag. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a 50% deposit bonus. You got the Texans and Jags at plus 150, the Titans at plus 275, and then the best money you can win is the Indianapolis Colts at plus 375. Who's your AFC South champion, Scott? Where, if you had to lay some shekels on one of these teams, where are you going? AFC South.
It's a tough one. It's between Jacksonville and Houston. We already know how good the Jacksonville defense is, and if they continue to have Blake Bortles as a game manager and not make mistakes, they can certainly get back to the AFC Championship game. But Houston has Watson back. They have the better. Jacksonville has the better defense. Houston has a very good defense, but also a better quarterback. So I'm going to say Houston.
I'm with you. Give me the Houston Texans in the AFC South. We all talk about Deshaun Watson coming back. Hey, let's not forget about a guy named J.J. Watt coming back as well. That defensive line, you know, Jadeveon Clowney, J.J. Watt, Whitney Mercilus, they could be doing some things there. Don't forget, this defense also signed the Honey Badger in the offseason to patrol in the back end. Also, you know, if Watson and Watt and D-Hop all stay healthy for this team, I agree with you. I believe they are the AFC South champions hopping over the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then if we look to the West, Scotty, when we look to the AFC West, you know my feelings on the Los Angeles Chargers, and they are the favorites in this division at plus 150. Then it's real interesting, Scott. I mean, this is kind of the tightest division where the longest odds are still only plus 275. That's the Denver Broncos. The Chiefs at plus 250. The Raiders at plus 225. Vegas thinks the Raiders are the second best team in this division. I beg to differ with them. You know I'm running and putting the under on their season win total. Who do you like in this division? Are you on the Chargers bandwagon like everybody else?
Yeah, I think the Chargers are definitely the best team in the division because I think Kansas City is second and Pat Mahomes first full year as a starter, there's going to be some bumps. So, yeah, to me, you know, there are three divisions here that are kind of easy for me in the AFC.
Right, and so you believe the Chargers, the Steelers, and the Patriots are all, you know, ticketed for the playoffs, correct?
Right.
Okay, so then let's extrapolate out a little bit, Scott, you know, and well, here's what I'm doing. I'm now looking at the odds to win the AFC. Okay, and listen, the Patriots are the big favorites, right? They're the big favorites at only plus 150 to get back to the Super Bowl. Then you got the Steelers at plus 375 to win the AFC. Your Chargers come in at plus 1,000. The Jags and the Texans are a little bit better. Vegas thinks that the hierarchy in the AFC goes New England, then Pittsburgh, then Jacksonville, Houston, Los Angeles. And who would be their sixth team? It looks like the Denver Broncos
Tennessee?
Are their sixth team. No, the Tennessee, they got us plus 1,600. They have Denver at plus 1,200. And the Raiders also at plus 1,200. I mean, I hear you on the Patriots, but they represent no value. Would you want to take a shot with the Chargers or the Steelers maybe? Or would you stay away from this because you really believe it's New England and you just don't win money on that one?
Yeah, I think it's New England. The one team, you're looking at the teams that Pittsburgh never takes them out. They never do. It doesn't happen. I'm saying it can't happen because you can't predict execution, especially in the NFL playoffs. And, you know, we've never seen Phillip Rivers win anything here. You know, Jacksonville was the one team that gave him a run for their money. I'm not saying the Patriots can't be beat, but it's really hard, like, to do it in the preseason. Yeah, I'd like to do it more after 4 weeks when I'm seeing more trends.
Yeah, but then, you know, when you're seeing trends, so are everybody, Scott, and that's where the money moves. So, you know, you may sometimes you got to try to get ahead of the game, much like your boy Speeds the Spitting Statistician with Belgium and Croatia in the World Cup. But remember, Scotty, you know, enter the promo code FNTSY over at mybookie.ag. I also want to tell you guys, listen, you could still play some DFS baseball and potentially win two tickets to the 2018 Fall Classic. Go on over to dailyroto.com/DKMS. You know about our collaboration to help the fight against blood cancer. Hey, Scotty, we just talked about the AFC. When we come back here on a summertime Friday, let's look at the NFC, which is, you know, in everybody's opinion, much more competitive. So we may differ a little bit more. Let's see what we think about the NFC when we come back. It's the King, Scott Engel, and the Spitting Statistician, Dane Martinez. We are off and running. It's Roto Experts in the Morning on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
What you want? It is Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We got the King, Scott Engel. We got the Spitting Statistician, Dane Martinez, as we put the fun in functional sports content heading into a casual summertime Friday here. Hope you guys have a great time this weekend. We got our guy, the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. He'll be coming back and joining the fun as usual. He'll be back on Monday. We hope he has a great weekend as well. Scotty, we were, you know, I just heard that commercial, right, Carton and Friends. They were talking about the favorites and, like, to what extent the Yankees are or not the favorites. We are looking at the favorites of every division in the NFC. And Scotty, we agreed on all four in the AFC. We agreed that our division winners are the New England Patriots, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Houston Texans, and the Los Angeles Chargers. We believe those will be your division winners. And we agree. We were 4-for-4 and agree. I don't think that will be the case in the NFC. So let's get on into it. First division I want to go to is the NFC South, Scott, which I think is very interesting. There are co-favorites in the NFC South right now at plus 150. You got the Atlanta Falcons, and then you got Kenny and Philly squad, the New Orleans Saints. I know you like the Saints a lot, Scotty. Do you like them enough to actually make this bet at plus 150 for them to win the NFC South?
Yeah, I like the Saints. I think they're an underrated dark horse to win the NFC. Very good defensive line, very good secondary, you know, in addition to everything that they have on the offense. If you give me between Drew Brees and Matt Ryan, you know, that's a very good close call. But I think Drew Brees is more steady in a close call. I'm going to go with New Orleans there.
Fair enough. Let me ask you about Carolina. What do you think about Carolina, Scott? They're at plus 225. They're a tough team for me to figure out, you know, because, like, sometimes you think their defense is strong, but Luke Kuechly can't stay on the field, you know. And then on their offense, like, they have pieces. Remember, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever it was, Cam Newton was the MVP. They were putting up 30 points a game. Like, we've seen them be explosive, but then we've also seen them look Archean, you know, and kind of grinding it out. What do you make of Carolina? Do you think they're a playoff team, Scott?
They're going to be contender for the wild card,
I think.
But
like a 9-7 kind of squad?
Yeah, 9-7, 10-6 sort of squad. Wouldn't surprise me if three teams from the NFC South went to the playoffs. It wouldn't be crazy.
Yeah,
you never know with Atlanta too. It's hard to predict.
Right, that's the thing. I think this is a hard division.
But to me, New Orleans is the best because again, it goes down to guys that have done it before and Drew Brees, etc.
Right,
and I think their defense is a little bit better than Atlanta's. You know, with Carolina outside of the NBC, the MVP season, not
right.
the NBC season.
Of Cam Newton.
Cam Newton has been erratic, and and also, outside of the defensive line, which is terrific, this defense, does have its question marks, especially in the secondary where they got torn up last year.
Fair enough, but remember, we talked about it yesterday. They may try to give Christian McCaffrey 25, 30 touches a game, so who knows? You're on the Saints,
That's good for fantasy.
Right. I'm a little bit different here. I like the Saints, but I just feel like they may have some regression. I think the Saints are a playoff team, but just to be a little bit different here, I'm going to go Carolina. I think it comes together for Carolina a little
bit
this year.
Just to be different?
Yeah, I think they are a playoff team, and because of the value here, listen, I think the Saints are good, but for me to actually make this bet, I don't think they represent value. You know what I mean? So I'm going to try and win some money. So because of that, give me the Carolina Panthers to zig when other people are going to zag in the NFC South. Scotty, I also think we're going to
I think you're going to lose that bet. This is the toughest division in football, and that's the third-best quarterback and the third-best defense in that division.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm telling you, you got to go off the radar sometimes. Remember, we were talking about this in order to win. So I'm going to try and be a little different. Give me Carolina in the South. I do think, however, the Saints are a playoff team. Scotty, I don't know that I think three teams from the South can get there because I think two teams from the North get there. So let's look at the North right now. You have co-favorites in the North as well at plus 110, the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings. How do you think the North is one, Minnesota, Green Bay?
That's really, really tough because you got right. Aaron Rodgers back in Green Bay. But you know what? Offense doesn't win at all, and he's 5-6 in the playoffs since winning the Super Bowl, so give me Minnesota.
Yeah, give me Minnesota as well. I love
5-6 in the postseason.
Gotcha. I love what Minnesota did. I love what Minnesota did. And I think they actually get better on both sides of the ball incredibly this year. You got the returning Dalvin Cook, and most people believe that Cousins is an upgrade on even the career year of Case Keenum last year, right? So there's reason to believe that the Minnesota Vikings get better on offense. There's reason to believe that the Minnesota Vikings get better on defense. They already had a top five defense. The first round draft pick, Mike Hughes from UCF, I think it's helped that secondary, and they got Sheldon Richardson for the middle of that line. Scotty, we both know about Richardson, you as a Seahawks, me as a Jets fan. Richardson has been on these two teams. This is a guy in the middle of that line that can really do some work and maybe tie up more blockers, helping kind of Danielle Hunter and these edge rushers. I think Minnesota got better on offense and on defense. I agree with you. Give me the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC North. But that's why, Scotty, because we both think that the Vikings and the Packers are, good teams, right? So I think there's a wild card coming out of the North, which would prevent both wild cards coming from the South. It sounds like you think that my guys, the Carolina Panthers, get compromised in that squeeze, though, huh, Scotty?
Yes, I agree with that, yes.
All right, so you wouldn't take a chance on Detroit or Chicago. A lot of people think there's upside in Chicago. Detroit, it's interesting, but Detroit has been around for a while. They win 8-9 games a lot, and they're kind of nondescript up there. People don't think about them. You're not willing to take any chances with the Bears or the Lions?
No, but I think the Lions have a shot to be a playoff team. They're going to be they have a respectable defense, and I think they're going to be more physical and balanced on offense. So they could be a surprise team. I don't think they're going to win the division, but they could be a wild card.
They can maybe sneak in if they get to, like, say, 9 wins, possibly. Let's go to the West. Scotty, we have a clear favorite.
Nine may not be good enough to make the playoffs in this year's NFC. I think you might.
That's true. The NFC is real deep. 9 might get you there in the AFC, though, Scotty.
It might, yes.
Yeah. All right. So let's go to the West here, Scotty. NFC West. Here you have a clear favorite on the minus side at the Los Angeles Rams, minus 150. Then, sorry to say, Scotty, but the Niners are the second choice in the division at plus 225, the Seahawks at plus 325, and then no one really believes in the Arizona Cardinals at plus 900. Is this division, in your opinion, wrapped up for the Rams?
I think so. Not only do they have the most talent on paper, but you saw them execute it during the regular season. When they went to Seattle and they stomped them 42-7 at the end of last year, you know, that was the sign that, you know, the division was changing right there.
Yeah, absolutely. So we agree on two of the three divisions in the NFC. I think we are going to agree on the East as well, where the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles are the clear favorite at minus 225. Interesting, though, the Cowboys are the second choice at plus 275, and then the Giants and Redskins, the Washington football team, at plus 575. Is this wrapped up for Philly, in your opinion, Scott?
Yeah, I think so. It's just the other teams are just not as talented here. The Giants are going to be better. I think they finish in second. Then Washington third. And I think, you know, this is not a terrible division, but, you know,
right.
Dallas, I think Dallas is going to finish last. You know, it's, they have some questions on the back end of the defense, I think, still. And their wide receiver crew is the worst in the NFC. I think they lack playmakers. They're going to ask too much from Ezekiel Elliott, which is good for fantasy, but not good for the NFL. What is the over-under on Dallas win totals?
It is 8 right now. I take the under on that.
I'm taking the under on the Cowboys.
Right. Here's the thing, Scotty. You know, you and I both think Dallas, you know, finishes last in that division. Vegas thinks Dallas is the second-place team in that division. So that represents some value right there if you think they're going to underperform what Vegas thinks. All right, so let's now look, Scotty. Okay, we have our divisions, right? It looks like we all believe that Philly. We believe that the Rams. It sounds like we like both Minnesota and Green Bay to probably make the playoffs. And then we got the Saints potentially. Let's look at the odds to win the NFC. It looks like the Philadelphia Eagles, the defending champs, are the favorites, but they're actually co-favorites to win the NFC with the Green Bay Packers at plus 400. You got the Packers and the Eagles at plus 400, the Rams and the Vikings at plus 600, and then, Scotty, the New Orleans Saints at plus 1,000. But check this out, Scotty. This, I think, is crazy. The Saints are at plus 1,000 to win the NFC. The San Francisco 49ers are plus 850. The Dallas Cowboys are plus 850. The Atlanta Falcons are plus 850, all ahead of the Saints, who I know you like. So, Scotty, that's 10-1 there. You like that value? 10-1 for the Saints? Yeah.
Yeah, that's ridiculous to put Dallas ahead of New Orleans. I mean,
yep, New Orleans is plus 1,000
right now. Who's making these odds? Corey Parsons?
It's mybookie.ag.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, Atlanta's ahead of New Orleans in that division. The Cowboys are ahead. The San Francisco 49ers are ahead. So listen, Scott, how do you feel about this?
There is no way that Dallas should be mentioned with that group. And San Francisco is getting overhyped. And the Packers, you know, you're just judging it on quarterback. To me, the three best teams in the NFC are the Eagles, the Vikings, and the Saints. And then I would put the Packers fourth.
What about the Rams?
You
said Eagles, Packers, and Saints. Where are the Rams? The Rams got to be in there, right?
Eagles, Packers, Saints, Rams, Packers.
Okay. I like the Rams a lot. I like the Rams a lot, but it sounds like Scotty is over here thinking that the Saints are a really good value at 10-1. I tell you, I like the Saints, but remember, I'm going a little bit different there in the South. My NFC championship game, Scotty, pits the Los Angeles Rams against the Minnesota Vikings. I think those are the places to go. But interesting, listen, go on over to mybookie.ag if you think the Saints represent some value, if that's crazy. Get it right now before the lines change, because when Scotty Angle says something, it may move the number, okay? So remember, go on over to mybookie.ag, enter the promo code FNTSY, and then you could, put in some futures and win a little bit of extra cash for the football season. Scotty, I know there's only a couple of minutes left, and I know we are so football focused, but there have been some big news in Major League Baseball over the last week, so I do want to spend just a couple of minutes on that. The first thing I got to say, and listen, listen, yes, I'm a Yankees fan, I know, but this is big news regardless. Aaron Judge got hit by a pitch and fractured a bone in his wrist yesterday. They're saying it's like 3 to 4 weeks. I'm worried that it could be much longer than that. I'm worried that this could have an impact big time as a Yankee fan. I remember Joey Bats after he hurt his wrist, what that did to him. David Ortiz had the same kind of thing with the wrist. That is not good for a slugger. Scotty, what do you think is the impact of this Aaron Judge injury? Remember, Gary Sanchez is also gone for the next month or two in that offense. They get Glaber back, but talk to me about the impact of losing Judge here.
They'll still have him back for the playoffs. So, you know, maybe it's a blow in terms of winning the division. Fantasy-wise, I think it's much, much tougher because, you know, how are you really going to replace that for the stretch run?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it is going to be tough. And you talk about this for the playoffs or whatever. I'm worried about winning that division because then the playoffs turn into a one-game shootout, you know, and let's say it's against a team like Seattle and they got James Paxton on the hill or something like that. You never know what happens in a one-game scenario. Here's the other thing, Scotty. You know, the trade deadline is approaching, right? Next week is the trade deadline, and this week there have been three trades of starting pitchers, okay? We had Nate Eovaldi go to the Red Sox. We have Cole Hamels being rumored to go to the Cubs, and J.A. Happ yesterday in a trade with Brandon Drury and another rookie, a prospect, McKinney, going to these New York Yankees. Out of these three, Scott, which do you think is kind of the most impactful? Eovaldi to Boston, Hamels to Chicago, or J.A. Happ to New York? The only one that involves a change of leagues would be Hamels to the Cubs. So if you had Cole Hamels in an AL-only league, you would not have him anymore. What do you think about these moves? What moves the needle here for you? Eovaldi, Hamels, and Happ.
Eovaldi's overachieved. And now he goes to a really good team. That might have the biggest impact because he seems to have figured something out that he hasn't in the past, and he's just got to stay healthy. J.A. Happ, I think, you know, is a nice pickup for the Yankees, but not the major acquisition that they wanted to get because, you know, he could turn out to be Sonny Gray. And with Cole Hamels, he's past his prime, but you know, they have to do something because Tyler Chatwood's just been awful. I think he's a back-end fantasy starter, but, you know, I worry about him in Wrigley Field.
Yeah, absolutely. So keep an eye out on these guys. You know, you're right, Scotty. I mean, I was talking as a Yankee fan that what I wanted was a little bit of a higher-end starter, right? I want someone who could start game two of a playoff series for me right behind Severino and in front of Tanaka. And I don't think J.A. Happ is that dude. But, hey, they also, you know, fortified their bullpen. We've seen guys like Brad Hand on the move this week. We've seen guys like Zach Britton on the move this week. So keep your eye out this weekend. There will be some moves. Joaquin Soria was on the move to Milwaukee. And especially with these relievers, remember, you are creating new closers for teams. So you really got to be sensitive to that in fantasy baseball, okay? When a move happens, you are creating new closers. There is a new closer in Baltimore. There's a new closer in San Diego as well. Scotty,
you
only got a minute.
Chicago.
And in Chicago. Who is it going to be? I was talking, I mean, Nate Jones is still in the DL. Who's the closer now there for the White Sox?
Why is the name escaping me right now? Oh, that's bad.
That's all right. You know what they can do? They can go on over to George Kurtz's article, who always does a little bit of the closer report over there on Roto Experts in the morning or rotoexperts.com. Scotty, we only got a minute left, so I want to take this time real quick to say a big shout out to our guy Mike Florio. One of the best friends forever, a huge part of our network, is going to be moving on, going out to Cali, working for the NFL Network. I just want to take this time to say thanks for everything to Mike Florio. The best friends forever will never be the same. Mike Florio, we sent him off right last night. Be well. Congrats on everything you do, Mikey Florio. Right, Scotty? We love Florio.
Yep. The guy went from my intern to where he deserves to be. And by the way, it's Jace Fry in Chicago.
Ah, there it is. Jace Fry in Chicago. Jake Seeley will be back on Monday. Carton and Friends is up next here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We love you, Florio. Hey, fantasy players, we'll see you next week.
Mikey.